Hello and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances and I'll be your hostess. Hello and welcome to episode 29. It is Sunday, January 9th. I don't know about where you are, but where I am, it's cold. And they're talking about snow and ice coming in and winter. It's not been that bad. It's actually weirdly been kind of beautiful lately because it's been sunny. It's been fairly cold, but the mornings have been just gorgeous. And it's not been so bad because it's not been that windy. And so I can like take the dog out for a walk in the morning. And as long as I'm bundled up, it's very enjoyable. It gets to be a point in winter here where it's 40 degrees, which I know, like if you're living in Chicago, it's not cold at all. But to us here in Durham, North Carolina, that's chilly. And then this wind blows like constantly. It starts blowing around 9 in the morning. And it makes being outside very unpleasant. But when the wind's not there, it's actually kind of fun to be outside. But when the ice is there and the wind and the snow, I'm staying inside by the fireplace. I have to tell you, speaking of Durham, North Carolina, we are so proud. And today's issue of the New York Times, the Sunday Times, in the travel section, there's an article called, I think, 44 Places You Should Go in 2011. I'm going to click that right up. I've got the New York Times as my homepage. Let's see. Of course, now I can't find it. I'm pretty sure it doesn't really matter how many places, because what's really important is, okay, it's the 41 places to go in 2011, and number 35 is Durham, North Carolina. That's right, and this is an international list. It's not just 41 places to go in the States. I mean, here's the blurb is, from the beaches of Mexico to the wilds of Kurdistan. The places on this year's list take you to the end of the world and back. And they take you to Durham. Can you believe it? It's mostly because of the food scene here. There are a lot of really good restaurants. This has happened in the last 5 years, maybe 10, but really more like 5. And it's a very big farm-to-table thing, an eat-local thing, and just incredible. And a really wide range of restaurants. It's been fun. I have to say, we have been enjoying this. The man and I do not spend a lot of time going out to eat, but my friends and I do. My two best friends here, Amy and Danielle, and we take each other out on our birthdays. So we have sampled a goodly number of these restaurants over the last few years. And it's been fun, so I'm just excited. My town, on the same list as Kurdistan. I bet that's never happened before. What else do I have to tell you? Let's see, we've covered the fact that it's winter, it's cold, I live in a very cool place, although for a long time Durham was not considered very cool here in North Carolina. We have some crime issues. They're better than they used to be. But there's Raleigh, there's Durham, and there's Chapel Hill. And Durham was considered the place you got out of. But then slowly, as happens, people started thinking, wow, you know, Durham is kind of cool. And it is. It's got a very funky, cool downtown, and which is drained of everything by the malls and what have you, just like every other place. But then people started, because the rents were so low, people started coming back in. And we do have the Durham Bulls, and we've got Duke University. So there's just a lot of culture, and it's neat. And now we're just Durham proud. Before I forget, contact me. And in fact, I don't have notes. I'm doing this. I'm winging it. But I know that I've heard from Noni and Jean and Susan and somebody just today, Jan. Thank you, Jan, for commenting. She was actually commenting on, I think, the podcast two or three podcasts ago where I interviewed my mom. And she said, sounds like she is a great lady. And I understand why you're proud to call her mom. Isn't that nice? It's true. My mom is great. And I am proud to call her mom. And so anyway, so thanks. I don't know that I've heard from Jan before. So thanks for that. And I think that's it. But I would be thrilled to hear from any and all of you listening. Drop me a line. You can email me at fdowell, D-O-W-E-L-L, at mindspring.com. You can come over to my blog, which is offkilterquilt.com. podbean.com, and it's http no www offkilterquilt.podbean.com, and you can leave a comment. If you want to leave a review, if it's nice, go over to iTunes and do that. But I love hearing from you, and I do my best to email back to people who email me. It does sometimes take a couple days because I'm really just so lazy, so lazy. I'm going to give something away. I'm excited about this because I've been wanting to. Now, if I were truly a generous hostess, I would have gone out and just bought something for this very occasion, but I haven't. But I was going through my books the other day. And if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, I've been podcasting, I think, since April, you might remember, probably not, but you might, that for my birthday, I got Rule Breaking Quilts by Catherine Schmidt. And I was looking at it the other day, and I love the idea of rule-breaking quilts. I'm all about that. But I don't think I'm going to make these quilts. And, you know, one of the things, it's a very fun-looking book, and there's some neat stuff. And I think it's a worthwhile book. I really, and now this is going to sound terrible, because, like, I'm going to give this thing away, because I really don't like it. It's not true. I think there's a lot that's neat about it. But I don't like her palette at all. And I thought, you know, that's one of the things that's going to keep me. She has a very cool, as in cool color palettes, a lot of greens and blues together, a lot of very dark blues, and also a little bit more yellow than I care for. But here's, like, I'm looking at this quilt called Moving Violations, and it's a really cute quilt. It's very liberated quilt looking, but it's like navy blues and yellow greens, and yeah, and that's just not me. Now, I think a more person with a more mature aesthetic could go, well, you know what, you don't actually have to use those colors, and I know I don't have to, but there's something about that that just keeps me from being drawn to do these quilts. But I do think it's a neat book, and you might really like it. So if you would like it, how about leave a comment by, this is Sunday, I might get this posted tonight, more likely tomorrow. So say, week from tomorrow, let's give that a date. Oh, but let's just say Martin Luther King Day, because that's next Monday, so that's like the 17th. And leave me a comment, and I'll figure out how to do one of those number thingies where you plug in numbers, and I'll pick somebody at random to send this book to. I do think it's a cute book. It is Rule Breaking Quilts by Catherine Schmidt. It's an AQS, an American Quilting Society publication. And you can look it up on Amazon and see if that's something that you would like. You just might. And like I said, I think it's good. It's just not doing anything for me in a way that's making me say, ooh, I've got to do all these quilts. I don't. And I want to give something away. And one day I actually will go, like, get a, I don't know, a charm pack or something really fun to give away this is secondhand, but it's not really, because it's not bent up. It's still in pretty good shape, and it comes with love for me from my heart. Yeah. Okay. I don't know what else to tell you. I did some quilt diarying this week, so what follows this introduction, of course, will be the quilt diaries. I've not been active at all over at Big Tent. Some people have, and when the spirit moves me, I shall be again. I don't know. Is the spirit moving me? What is the spirit moving me to do right now? Plan my garden. I've been doing that. The man and I have been looking through our Johnny Seeds catalog and trying to figure out what we're going to start from seed and what we're actually going to sow. What we're going to start from seed by sowing it right directly into the ground, and what we're going to start under grow lights. We don't have many grow lights, so we have to be very choosy about that. I am hoping to, I would like to grow some heirloom tomatoes. I would like to grow some tomatoes I can turn into spaghetti sauce to either freeze or maybe can. I'm a little scared of canning because I don't want to kill anybody. But but from what I understand with stuff like tomatoes that are really high acid, you do have less of a chance of decimating your entire family if you make a mistake. It's really with the low acid stuff like beans where it can be more problematic. We'll see. It's something I'm thinking about. But we've got a freezer, so I can make sauce and freeze it. I just like the idea of canning. But so I've been, so that's one thing the Spirit has been moving me to do. Think about the garden, which is such a fun thing to do right now. I have been doing a little drawing because that's one of my New Year's resolutions, is to draw more. I like to draw. And here's another thing. One of the things that the man gave me for Christmas, he gave me kind of an art kit, an informal art kit, but he gave me a lot of art supplies with like artist trading cards, and which is just blank, just pieces of nice drawing paper cut up and sold at exorbitant prices. But you know, there's a whole artist trading card thing going where people mail cards back and forth. So, and also blank postcards that you can draw on and paint on and what have you. If you're the kind of person who likes snail mail, and I personally am, and I miss it. Do you miss it? Were you ever a letter writer? I wrote so many letters for so long. I mean, starting from the time we moved when I was a kid a lot, as I've just, you know, because we were in the Army. And I certainly wrote letters in junior high to old friends. And then from that point on, you know, we would move and I would write to my friends back where we used to live, and wrote friends in college, wrote, you know, my friends from high school when I was in college. And really, and I carried on a number of correspondences for a long time. And it used to be like Sunday nights, I would be my letter writing night. And I would sit down and write very long letters to people. And you know, by the time I was in my mid-20s, I would make copies. I would Xerox my letters before. I haven't read any of my old letters. I'm sure I was not quite as clever as I thought I was being at the time. But maybe I was. Maybe I was as funny and charming and as delightful as I was attempting to be. Nonetheless, the point is, I wrote a lot of letters, and I received a lot of letters. In fact, I kept all the letters that I've received as well, because I just enjoyed them so much. And I miss that. As much as I enjoy email, you know, but I feel like I'm in a letter writing habit. So I get these emails from people and I really do wait, for days, because it's just like, well, you know, because when you get a letter, no one expects you to write back right away. But when you get an email, they really do expect it. And I kind of expect it too, which is why it's so shameful that I am not more prompt in returning emails. So one of the things, I have a friend in Montana, and I decided I would make her just sit down and draw something on one of these postcards that the man got me. And so I did. I actually drew a tomato seed pack. I just copied one we had, and I drew it, and I used pens and colored pencils, and I really enjoyed it. And I'm hoping she will send me a postcard back. But if you would like to have a postcard exchange, let me know. Email me with your address. Again, it's fdowell@mindspring.com. And I would prefer homemade postcards of some sort, but if you're not the sort of person to do that, then just something that's beautiful or fun or quilt related, if you're interested. You know, I do. I really miss getting mail. And I tried to get, there's a postcard exchange, like an international postcard exchange thing online. And I thought, well, I'll try. That would be fun to get postcards from all over the world. And I signed up for it and I sent out my first postcard and it was never received. And I just thought, well, you know, it was like to somewhere in the Netherlands or something. I can't remember. And I was just like, well, that's kind of a drag, you know, when the first time out, like never received. So I feel like, But anyway, let me know and I'll draw something and you could draw something and it could be fun if you want some mail. But only if you'll send me mail back. So let's get on with the show. I do talk some about quilting in the Quilting Diaries, probably not as much as a quilting podcaster should, but we're moving along. We're moving along. We're making progress. It's all good. So, with no further ado whatsoever, the Quilt Diaries for this week. Quilt Diary Day 1, Take 15. I don't know why I'm not doing a very good job of talking today, sitting here and staring at my computer screen and talking. Why? I don't know. Maybe I'm aware of like my older son sitting in the other room thinking, why is mom talking to herself? I'm not. I'm podcasting. I just posted my last episode yesterday, but I am very intent on being on the ball about keeping up with my quilt diary. It's very motivational. If I think, okay, I'm going to try to do something most days so I can do a quilt diary, then I actually get stuff done. And like today, I finished the last two popsicle blocks of Simply Amy, Simply Frances, which means I'm down to about 9 blocks. I don't have much more to go, which is exciting. I just can't wait to get this top done, not just A, for the sense of accomplishment that I will feel, but B, because it's really cool looking. You know, I've got it up on the design wall in my bedroom, and I wake up to it, and I'm like, what a cheerful, fun thing to wake up to. Just imagine if it were on my bed. Even more cheerful and fun. So I feel like I have made progress, and I was very specific with myself today, telling myself not some vague, I'll try to get some work done on the quilt, but that I would make 2 blocks. These blocks don't take a huge amount of time, maybe 30 minutes, maybe a little bit less. You know, I'm always having to take a break to go do something, let the dog out, let the dog in, answer the phone, what have you. But it definitely was a little bit under an hour. So that's not bad. You know, 2 blocks an hour. So it's not a very complicated process, but it's got to be done. And so I think that's what all I'm going to do today, because I do have to finish the man's sock for his birthday, which is Friday. I'm not going to finish both socks. There's no way that's going to happen. But he'll be happy with one sock, because the one sock will promise the other sock. It's like, you know, it's like a little legal document. Here's one sock. I will produce the other in a timely fashion, and I will. I think, as I said in my last episode, which I should remember since it was just yesterday, but the yarn I'm working with is so pleasurable to work with, and it's gotten cold again here. We had a warm spell over the weekend, and now it's just regular winter now. It's nothing dramatic. It's just 42. My brother in Chicago just thinks it's hilarious that I find 42 cold, but I do. That's how it is. I live in the South. So it is nice to knit and have warm things in your lap when it's January and 42 degrees. But nonetheless, I'm going to, I guess, maybe try to get more 2 more blocks. I have some lavender blocks to do, and I love lavender. It's one of my favorite colors, or periwinkle. What's the difference? Is there a difference between periwinkle and lavender? Maybe periwinkle has like a touch more blue, and that's what this is, and it's really pretty. So that's what I may work on next. And then I've got some light blue. The light blue is very boring, you know, but sometimes that's how it is when you're making a quilt. You've got to do some boring stuff, and when you put it together with the big picture, it all works. But the light blue is kind of boring. So that is what I've accomplished today. I also did a lot of writing, and I went to a meeting at Jack's school, and I walked the dog, and I'm about to go make dinner and maybe start some bread. This complete quilting aside, but that's what you come here for, my asides. I'm sure that's what it is. But you know what's really, not depressing, but frustrating when you make bread and it doesn't work? Using a recipe that has worked for you in the past. And I did that yesterday. I have this great cookbook. It's the King Arthur's Whole Grain Flour Cookbook. And we are trying to do more whole grains around here. Although I keep making the mistake when I buy those Linder's mini bagels. My kids really like them for snacks. And their idea of a big treat now is when I get the plain white ones. They're like begging me, Mom, please get the white bagels. Please get the plain bagels, not the multigrain bagels, please. But I'm like, no, man, white flour is very passe. It's just terrible for you. But I keep going to grab the whole wheat multigrain bagels, and I'm keep grabbing like the cinnamon raisin or the brown sugar cinnamon bagels. They're like, yeah, all right, which are really, you know, they're brown, but they're not, they're brown from brown sugar. So anyway, but I made a loaf of bread that has worked for me many times last night. It's worked for me many times before. Didn't work for me last night. I don't know why. It just didn't get much of a rise on it at all. So sometimes, I don't know, besides the fact that I have the worst oven in the world, but even in the worst oven in the world, I can make some pretty good bread. So tonight I'm going to give it another try, maybe a different recipe. And maybe it's just gotten a little bit colder and I didn't get the water quite warm enough to activate the yeast, because that was a sorry little loaf of bread that came out of an oven. It's a recipe. It just makes one loaf. You know, so at least you don't feel like you've wasted all this flour. But so that's on my list for tonight. And knitting Oh, I've got to go practice my fiddle. In fact, that's what I'm going to go do right now. So I hope to be back tomorrow with even more exciting news about progress on my blocks for Simply Amy, Simply Frances. See you later. Quilt Diary, Day 2. Now it's Wednesday, January 5th. I didn't make any progress yesterday because I felt like I needed to have some forward motion on the man's sock. I mean, it's bad enough he's only getting one sock. It would be really bad if all he got was half a sock. So I thought, I need to sit down and do this. And so I did with the time I had. It also seems like it was kind of a busy day yesterday. Today, worked on the man's sock some more. We've turned the heel. I've got about 4 or 5 more inches, and it's fairly thick yarn, so I'll have it done. But I wanted just to feel sure that it wasn't going to be a problem. After dinner tonight, I thought I'm going to start on the light blue squares. I wonder if I can do 2 blocks. And it seemed like a good time to do it because, quite frankly, after dinner, my jeans were feeling a little tight. We've got a little bit of the holiday belly going on. And so I thought, you know, I'd like to stand. I'm either going to need to put on my jammies or do something that I can stand and do. So I decided to try to do 2 blocks. And when I got to the second block, I had a great idea, which was to time it and see how long these blocks take. Because the first one did not feel like it took that long. I thought, you know, if these aren't really taking all that long, then what's the problem? So I timed the second block. I found an online timer, and it was a stopwatch, so it just, you just started it, and it started keeping time. It took 13 minutes and 24 seconds. Now, everything was ready to go. I had the center square already cut. In fact, I cut the center squares last summer when I did the sashing. I did all the center squares, and I had all the strips I needed. I, you know, with this block, you have the center square, and then you build around it strip by strip, and so you have to cut the strips for each side that you do. And sometimes the blocks take a little longer to do because you run out of strips, and then you have to go and, you know, and do the whole thing with your fabric where you straighten it, you have to cut it, so you have to measure it, straighten it out for the cut, and do all those things that you do. So that can really add 5 minutes to a block. And I'm not obsessed with time, you know, but I was just curious. And so this one was a very just straightforward, everything cut, everything ready to go, just having to size the strips to the block and sew and press. And 13 minutes and 24 seconds is what it ended up being. Now, that does beg the question, why have I been working on this quilt for roughly 6 months now? I mean, I got the fabric, I got it in June. Because I used the money that my parents gave me for my birthday to buy the fabric. And my birthday's at the end of May, and so I think I took a little while to figure out what I wanted to do and got the fabric, and I'm sure start cutting it right away. So it's been over 6 months now. We're talking 36 blocks. If they each say, so if you average 20 minutes, you have to do the math because that may be too much for me. No, I can do it. Here's how my math skills work. 36 blocks at 20 minutes. All right, 36 times 10 is 360. So 36 times 20 is 720 minutes. I don't know how many hours that is. What do you want to call it? 12 hours? Is that right? I should have been done with this in a weekend. How could this be? It's taken 6 months. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's not about time. It's about process and enjoyment and living large and all that good stuff, being creative. It's not about time, but still it does give you pause. It gives one pause. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But I was like, that's all it's taken is 13 minutes of blocking. I'm still on this thing. I just am. Let it go. Let it go. What else? There are other things. I keep thinking of things I want to talk about, and then I forget. And now it's 7:51 at night, which means the great bedtime regalia is about to begin. And that'll suck every last drop of energy out of me, but it's okay. It's okay. One thing I wanted to mention, so I mentioned a few podcasts ago that I got a blade sharpener, which I finally used, and it worked, and it still works. I should say it is not like a fresh, brand new blade. You know, what a lovely thing. Well, first of all, you worry about cutting off your finger because it's so sharp. But when you actually cut fabric, as long as you're not bleeding, it's such a pleasant experience. And it really is sort of like the proverbial hot knife through butter. This is not that. And I do find I use more pressure than perhaps I would with a new blade. And the cuts are clean. But I do feel like if I were using less pressure, they wouldn't be. And my mom said that she had gotten one of these. And she got it at Joann's, so it was probably the same kind. But it did not work for her at all. And she really tried. And she's a direction follower. So I'm sure she did everything she was supposed to do. And it just didn't work, so she took it back. So I kind of want to qualify my exorbitant praise, because it's really not like a new blade, but it's like a pretty good blade. And my mother's experience was quite the opposite, that it was bad and it didn't work. So just want to let you know, sort of consumer reports. What else do I want to tell you? Oh, I enjoyed listening to the most recent Stash Resolution. And Sarah talks about being a selfish crafter this year. And I just want to say, go, Sarah. You go. Make stuff for yourself. It's like she was saying, her husband doesn't even have a knitted hat. You know, Sarah quilts and sews and knits. And she's never even given her husband a knit cap. It's time to bring it on in. Bring it on home. And start being selfish about her crafting. And, you know, there's a lesson to be learned for all of us. I think it's very nice to make things for other people. And I enjoy it. And I think that for the most part, people are really happy to get homemade stuff and, you know, to get a quilt or to get socks or a scarf. You know, and I know that, you know, it's like my kids love the quilts that Grammy gave them and made for them. I'm trying to think. I don't think anyone's knit me a pair of socks. That's kind of sad. I've knit a lot of socks for people. Man, maybe I just don't have enough knitting friends. It's very enjoyable, but you can get overwhelmed by it. I have to say, I've got a sock list. I have so many people it's like I want to make socks for, and I always make the man a pair of socks for his birthday. And I've made socks for myself, but I've probably made more socks for other people than for me. But I still have a sock list, and I've got a pair of socks I'm working on for a friend of mine. And I want to make my fiddle teacher a pair of socks. You know, he's my... You know, I always call him an old hippie, and I don't mean, and I hope that doesn't sound derogatory. I really do mean it in the nicest possible way. He's just so laid back and so cool, and he looks like Santa Claus. And yesterday he wore orange suspenders, but of course, you know, he often wears socks with sandals. I mean, he's often in the summer, he just goes barefoot. You know, he's 66, so this is hardcore hippiedom in the best possible way. Anyway, the man needs a pair of homemade socks. His socks look good. They look like good camping socks, but I would like to make him a pair of socks because he's become a good friend. And he's put up with me fiddling for over a year and a half, and that's got to be painful. That's got to be tough on him. I wonder, too, if there's to some extent, and I think Sarah addressed this a little bit, where you feel like you almost have to make stuff for other people. Like, what a selfish thing to make a quilt for yourself. Because, you know, quilts take a long time, as evidenced by Simply Amy, Simply France. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of effort and money. And it almost and then you end up with this thing of beauty, and it almost feels like selfish to keep it. You feel like, wow, I should give this to somebody. Somebody's cold out there, or somebody would love it. And to have spent all that time and effort on yourself or your own family, you know what I mean? It almost feels wrong. Wrong. You should be giving it all away. But no, I think that it's good to be selfish as well. And as I've said, I do plan to make a quilt for our living room. And I've been looking in by my sewing area. I was thinking, oh, I should take a picture of that and post it on the blog. But it's right now, it's nice because the stuff in it is nice, but there's a big blank wall beside my sewing machine, and it's really calling out, crying out, screaming in the middle of the night for a quilt. And so I've been eyeballing those batiks that my sister-in-law Jessica sent me, which are gorgeous. I thought, you know, it might be fun to do something. I think they would work. I think that they would go with the cornmeal yellow wall there very nicely. So I'm thinking about making a couple quilts for myself, should I ever finish the quilt I'm working on. But as an interesting thought, go listen to Stash Resolution if you haven't and ponder whether or not this will be your year of selfish crafting. Why not? Everyone should have a selfish year. I bet most people listening to this podcast work really hard, might have kids or grandkids that you help take care of, or you have spent your life serving others, or you're working 9 to 5 and coming home and making dinner, all that stuff. It's time. It's time to take a selfish year. You know what? If you need to take, I would take paid leave from work and just be that selfish. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice if you, or just go, yeah, you know what? I need a break, but I need you to still pay me. Worth thinking about. All right, that's my thoughts for right now. We'll see where I am on Friday. I'd like to post this on Friday, and I hope to get another entry in with some progress. And also, if I have recalled, I know what I mean, and we could maybe have a whole podcast about this, or I could like suggest to Sandy or Brylin, you know, those podcasters are very, you know, Brylin is a great researcher over at Sew, Stitch, and Create, so maybe she could take this on. Why isn't there more writing about quilting? There are a ton of books about knitting, you know, like essays, not just how-to books. I mean, there are tons of how-to and pattern books for quilts, but knitting has this literary side, this non-fiction literary side. Quilting has its novels, and knitting has its novels, and I think overall the quilting novels are better. I hate to say it. I would love to read a great knitting novel, and I've yet to do it, and I have read it, and even I was disappointed in the Friday Night Knitting Club or Knitters Club. I wanted that to be a good book. And it wasn't terrible or anything, but it wasn't the experience I was hoping for. So I think the quilters have better novels. But as far as sort of creative nonfiction about sort of, you know, meditations on quilting and thoughts on quilting, or, you know, there was a book that I read a couple months ago, which I may or may have not brought up. And of course, now I cannot tell you what it's called. All right, let me see. I'm going to go see. Okay, I just checked and I couldn't remember what the title is. It's a woman, a knitter, decides she wants to knit a particular kind of Alice Starmore sweater. And Alice Starmore is a famous knitwear designer. Very picky, very difficult person. And so this woman, excuse me, she ends up writing this book about the process of knitting the sweater. And she goes and talks to various knitters about Alice Starmore and about their process. And the book was okay. I thought it started out strongly, and then I kind of found myself getting irritated with it. But nonetheless, it was fun. It was, before I got irritated with it, yeah, I enjoyed it. And it was, you know, she was kind of, again, a long meditation on knitting and why she knit and what she got out of knitting, as well as talking with other knitters and her experience of knitting a very particular and difficult pattern. And I don't know of anything like that for quilters. I don't know if just knitting in and of itself kind of inspires meditation and sort of a thoughtfulness about the process. And quilting, you're just so dang busy and you're moving around and you got to iron stuff, and who's got time to write about it? I don't know, but that's something I've been thinking about. Now, maybe I'm wrong and I just don't know about it. And if you know about a book of essays about quilting, I'd love to hear about it. But I don't know. I'm pondering this, and I myself have not been tempted to write about quilting, and my life as a quilter. So maybe there's just something about quilting that resists that impulse. I don't know. But I'd love to hear your ideas or suggestions for nonfiction, non-how-to books about quilting. Or if someone was going to write that kind of book, what would the angle be? Food for thought. Food for thought. All right, I'll be back soon, I hope. Quilt Diary Day 3. So now it's Thursday, and I actually have not done a lick of quilting today. I think that's the term, a lick of quilting. Today has been a knitting day, getting close on the sock. In fact, I think I'll finish the sock tonight. I'm hoping. I'm really tired today, but I'm on here with this journal entry, this diary entry, because I wanted to share something that my mom sent, which I thought was interesting and worth knowing about. You're going to hear some clicks as I click to this email. And I keep trying to click to the email, and it keeps running away from me. This is very strange. Okay, so she just forwarded to me something that she had gotten from her quilt guild. Here it is. Barbara Brackman is making available free Civil War block patterns each week in 2011. Each pattern is only available for 1 week at civilwarquilts.blogspot.com. Now, I hope I'll have this posted either tomorrow or Saturday. It won't be too late. If it is too late, guess what? I have copied this week's block, because it's very neat, and I think I've said before, I think I would like to do a little bit more formal quilting just to learn it. And I like this first block, and it has a story with it, and it's interesting, and y'all probably know who Barbara Brackman is, who does all the historic quilting history with a particular interest, as far as I can gather, with 19th century and Civil War stuff. So I will do my best to remember to put the blog address, again, civilwarquilts.blogspot.com, put that link in my show notes. And if you miss it this week's and you're interested, then email me and I'll just email you my copy of the pattern. So just wanted to share that with you. Hope to be back tomorrow with some updates. I hope. That's my plan. Talk to you later. Quilt Diary, Day 4. It's Saturday. I've done nothing. Well, I did finish the man's sock. And that's important. It was his birthday yesterday. We had a great day. We had barbecue for dinner. It was all good. We had fun. And the sock is done. And now, while I do have to knit the second sock, it doesn't have to be my number one priority. So I am hoping to get to work. Not just get to work. I know, I say this like all the time. I'm saying this constantly now. I think I'll be finished up with that quilt top any second now. I'm going to make progress. That's all I can promise. But here's the thing. I don't know what to do. I realized that I have made a mistake with the last 5 or 6 blocks, whichever ones I've been working on since I've started again. What I've done. Okay, the way you construct these blocks, you start out with a blue square, dark blue square, that's say 3.5 inches wide and high. It's a square, you know. So, and then you take white strips of fabric and you build, and you attach, imagine sewing onto each side so the square gets a little bigger, and then you attach strips of another color to the white strips, If you could see my finger, this would all be very clear, but you know what I'm saying. And so that's how you create the block. Then you take your 8.5 rule and you cut it so that you have a block. And it's kind of cool looking, kind of wonky looking, but part of the reason is it's kind of wonky and cool looking is you are actually supposed to modify that dark blue square before you start. So you sort of cut off a little bit from one side or the other, and then you build around it. Well, with these last 5 or 6 blocks, I have forgotten to do that. So these are very, they're still kind of wonky looking, but they're not as cool looking as the other blocks because that center square is just a square. So I don't know what to do because I really, you've been listening to me drone on and on about doing these blocks. I really, 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 really don't want to have to do them over again. I'm thinking I probably won't, but that doesn't mean I'm not thinking about it. It's one of those situations where I think 5 years from now or 5 minutes after the quilt is done, I won't care and I won't notice, and everyone else will notice even less than I notice. But still, right now, being right in the middle of the process, I notice it very much and I worry about it. And I think, boy, you've put a lot of time into this. Are you just going to hate yourself if you don't redo these squares? I don't think so, but it's a possibility. Let me know what you think. I'm going to finish this up right now. We're heading into the 30-minute mark, and I still have to do the introduction. I hope you've had a great week. I hope that next week will be even greater and that you are getting to do the quilting and the crafting that you enjoy doing. And leave me a comment and let me know how you're doing. It's midwinter, and we all need to be talking to each other a lot so that we don't go crazy from the cold and the snow and the darkness. Yes, anyway, have a great week. I hope to be back in this very spot next week, and I'll see you then.